Protesters outside the Senate Judiciary Committee last week demanding the Senate block the confirmation of one of President Trump's federal judicial nominees. Five people were arrested while protesting Stephen Menasche's hearing. He was nominated to the Second Circuit Court of Appeals, a seat formerly held by Justice Thurgood Marshall.
My grandfather lost his livelihood after having a dispute with the partners.
Menasche is a former aide to Education Secretary Betsy DeVos and a former lawyer in the Trump administration. His judicial nomination has brought renewed scrutiny to a number of writings he published as a student at Dartmouth that harshly criticize anti-sexual assault groups as well as LGBTQ advocates. In his Senate confirmation hearings last week, both Democrats and Republicans grilled Menasche.
Did you work on the subject matter?
Senator, I worked on immigration.
No, it's issues, a specific question.
But it would be inappropriate to start weighing
in. It's inappropriate for you to seek this nomination. It is inappropriate for you to sit there and stonewall this committee and refuse to answer any questions about who you are and what you believe.
Senator, I'm happy to be more forthcoming if you had a follow-up. I'm trying to be.
I'm out of time. You took a lot of it by not answering my questions.
And while Menasche still has to be confirmed by the Senate, his nomination is just the latest in a pattern that we've seen since President Trump took office in 2017. Trump has been pushing through judicial nominations far faster than his predecessor. As of last Wednesday, we've seen a total of 150 federal judges confirmed under the Trump administration. That's almost half of President Obama's total nominees over 8 years. President Trump still has 1 year left in his first term. Many of these nominees are very young and very conservative, and some have faced scrutiny for being unqualified for the job. Today in The Takeaway, a fresh look at how Trump is reshaping U.S. courts and how Democrats are responding ahead of 2020. I'm Tanzina Vega. For more, I'm joined by Zoe Tillman, legal reporter with BuzzFeed News. Zoe, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Russell Wheeler, a visiting fellow at the Brookings Institution. Russell, thanks for joining us.
Good to be with you.
So Zoe, let's start with you. When we look at these nominees who have been confirmed under the Trump administration, does Menasche fit the profile?
He does in a number of ways. Yeah, as we've seen a number of nominees come out of the Trump administration, especially for seats on the federal appeals courts, which set precedent for the rest of their circuits. You know, very few cases make it up to the Supreme Court, which makes these lower appeals courts that much more important. And so for circuit seats, we've seen nominees like Stephen Menasche come out of the Trump administration, as well as out of private practice, academia. But what they all tend to have in common is a very proven conservative track record, whether that means membership in groups like the Federalist Society, which is the country's preeminent conservative lawyers group, whether it's as a lower court judge, a record of writing opinions on things like abortion, the power of the federal government, gun rights, whether it's academic writings on these issues. So, you know, with Stephen Menasche, he's a known entity to this administration, and they feel confident that he'll fit the mold of the kind of judge that they're looking for.
Russell, give us a picture of how the Trump administration's appointees to the federal courts compares with past presidential administrations. We mentioned he's far outpaced President Obama.
At this point in their presidencies, he's appointed 43 judges to the Court of Appeals, which is many more than any of the presidents going back to Reagan, back to Kennedy, as a matter of fact, at a time in which there were many fewer judgeships. He hasn't been quite as effective in getting district judges confirmed. So if you look at his total appointments, 152, if you include the two Supreme Court justices, which is about 17% of the sitting of the authorized judgeships. But Kennedy, for example, at this point, had appointed 30% of the authorized judgeships, and Trump comes at 17%. He's sort of in the middle of the group from Kennedy to Trump. So we've heard an awful lot, and Zoe was just mentioning the appointments to the Court of Appeals. That's where the Senate and the administration have put all their efforts. Now that there's very few vacancies left on the Court of Appeals, I'm sure they'll turn to the district courts and begin to push those people through.
And Zoe, you've been writing a lot about the differences between Republicans and Democrats when it comes to the judicial strategy. You mentioned the Federalist Society. I'm not sure if there's a Democrat equivalent or a progressive equivalent to that. What are the differences, really, when it comes to how both of the parties are approaching this?
Republicans for decades have made the courts, and particularly the Supreme Court, a core voting issue for their base. And in fact, in 2016, President Trump even successfully wooed conservatives who were a bit wary of him, perhaps on other issues, by saying, even if you don't like me, think about the Supreme Court, think about the future of the courts. That is something that will outlast even 4 years, even 8 years. Those are lifetime appointments that will far outlast whatever I do as president. And it's a really effective message. And we heard from even never Trumpers who said they were really pleased with the focus on the courts. And this has been a concerted strategy by the right really for decades. And the left, and you'll hear this from advocates on the left, they're the first to admit it, they just haven't had the same focus. And it's been a source of frustration. There is an equivalent to the Federalist Society on the left. It's called the American Constitution Society. But in terms of resources, financially, reach, public awareness, it is far behind a group like the Federalist Society. And so these groups now are trying to build on the anger over things like Justice Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation hearing last year, like the growing awareness of the reach that the Trump administration has had in terms of appointing judges to the federal courts. They're trying to build on that to create momentum going into 2020 and to make it the kind of voting issue that it's been for the right. And so far, it really hasn't broken through. The first three Democratic presidential primary debates, I think I could count on two hands the number of times the Supreme Court came up. So they're working on it. They're trying to push it. But so far, it's still not breaking through the way it has for the right for quite a long time.
Russell, pivoting off of what Zoe was just saying there, I mean, is it too late for the Democrats to get their act together when it comes to the judicial nominee process? I mean, given that, whether historically or even in as we head into 2020, is it just, you know, given where the Trump administration is right now, he's got 1 year left in his current term. Have the Democrats run out of time?
Well, let's put it this way. They really are, in the Senate, they're only bystanders. All they can do is watch, because all the guardrails that used to give the minority some say in selecting judges, the end of the filibuster, which the Democrats did, and then the end of the so-called blue slip rule, which gives home state senators a veto power out of either party, a veto power over nominees from their state. Those are all gone. So the Senate has, like in bulldozer fashion, has just been pushing these nominees through, and there's not much the Senate can do about it, Senate Democrats can do about it. However, the prerequisite for any nomination to a federal court is a vacancy. Right now, there are only four vacancies in the Court of Appeals. There's two more waiting to happen. So if more vacancies don't come along, that puts an end to the Trump effort to reshape the courts, at least in his first term. And I suspect we're not going to see an awful lot more vacancies, especially by Democratic appointees through next year. If he doesn't get reelected, his imprint on the judiciary will be modest at best, I would think. If he does get reelected, it could make a wholesale transformation.
Zoe, there's been some discussion recently about Democrats wanting to, quote, pack the courts. As you mentioned, we've only heard about the Supreme Court in particular just a handful of times in three debates. Do you think this is going to be a more of a focus as the Democratic field narrows for 2020?
We did hear more candidates. In fact, nearly all of the top polling Democratic candidates over the weekend talking about the courts after the New York Times published a piece renewing some of the allegations of sexual misconduct for Justice Kavanaugh back when he was in college. You heard from candidates talking about, should we impeach Justice Kavanaugh, which is a whole other discussion than the kind of structural court reforms that you hear coming out of liberal legal advocacy groups. But it was really the first time we heard a groundswell of of comments from candidates running for president about the court on any topic. You know, whether that goes anywhere remains to be seen. But there are a number of competing plans for the courts coming out of the left. Part of the issue that we've seen is that these groups are not consistent in their message. They haven't agreed on what the message should be to try and rally the base. So we've heard from some groups that want to literally pack the courts. They want to add seats to the U.S. Supreme Court to counterbalance the conservative majority. They see the way they see it is that by not holding a hearing or voting on President Obama's final Supreme Court nominee, Merrick Garland, in his last year in office, they consider that a stolen seat by the Trump administration that was later filled by Justice Neil Gorsuch. They see Justice Kavanaugh as an illegitimate justice on the Supreme Court, given the issues that came up during his confirmation hearing, and they see this as the only path forward. But there are other groups who say this is unrealistic. It didn't work for Franklin D. Roosevelt, you know, some odd years ago, and it's not going to work this time around. It's dramatic. It's attacking the institution. And they're pitching things like putting in place term limits for justices, adopting a stricter code of ethics. Other groups say the focus shouldn't even be on structural reforms. We just want candidates talking about the kinds of nominees that they're going to put forward if they're elected, you know, trying to convey the message that the only thing worse for liberals than a court that's currently 5-4 with a conservative majority would be a court that is, say, 6-3 or 7-2, and getting that message across. So, you know, we're starting to hear candidates talking about the courts. Some of them are talking term limits. Some have said they're open to court packing. But none of these plans have really become a centerpiece of their policy platform on the campaign trail.
I imagine that's frustrating for folks on the progressive left. Russell, we just mentioned Gorsuch and Kavanaugh. And while there may be frustration from the Democrats on how they both got their seats, they're both sitting on the Supreme Court. Tell us a little bit about how the Republicans have really been, or how Trump has been able to get his nominees through, especially when we're talking about Kavanaugh, who was just so controversial. I mean, whatever they've done has been working.
Yeah, it's majority vote is what it comes down to. With the filibuster gone, the guardrails that were set up in a sense informally to encourage consensus candidates are all gone. So even in Kavanaugh's case, he barely squeaked through the Senate, but the Senate had a majority and they confirmed him. Let me say one other thing. A lot of Trump's lower court appointees also have replaced Republican appointees. So while he's appointed more circuit judges than any other president, he's largely replaced Republicans already. And he's replacing Republicans who may have been 70 and middle of the road with Republicans who are 40 and quite conservative. But still, that also limits his impact, it seems to me, on the overall judiciary. We need to wait to see if he's going to get a second term.
Russell Wheeler is a visiting fellow at the Brookings Institution, and Zoe Tillman is a legal reporter with BuzzFeed News. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.